Show right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network, broadcasting this evening on HCW2.com. Thank you so much for joining us here, broadcasting live from our Hockey This Week studios in New York and the great city of Los Angeles. My name is Paul Cutford, manning the production board here in New York. It's time to bring our host of the show, Mr. Steve Palumbo. Steve, good evening to you. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Paulie. I'm doing fantastic. We got Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals. It's a great time of year. How could you not be fantastic? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. We got it going. We're live. We're ready to go. We got the Strangers up by one against the Bolts here, and your Ducks are tied with the Hawks after a triple overtime game last night.
I guess a lot has changed since the last time we got together here. You know, we're deep in things now, and we got the Ducks and the Hawks, and just like we expected, it's going to be a heck of a series. I mean, these teams are ridiculously matched. Last night's game was as epic a hockey game as I've seen in a long, long time. You've got, you got the goal scoring, you got the special teams, you got the goaltending, you got the hitting. So it was a good time, and I'm surprised you out there in the East Coast. You stayed up all night for it. How do you feel today?
I feel pretty good, man. Never mind staying up late for good hockey, man. So when you got 1,000 shots being hit back and forth between Crawford and Anderson, who both put on an amazing show last night, I'll stay up all night for that, Stevie.
Yeah, it really was good stuff. It was like one of those games where you just don't want to see it end. I mean, you knew it was going to come on some kind of wacky play, and that's kind of how it ended. But nothing quite as wacky as that that headbutt goal. I mean, I've never seen anything like that before in a hockey game. I mean, if it was a soccer game, it would have been a beauty. I just kind of remember just sitting there looking at it and thinking to myself, is that legal? Is that going to count? And, it was waved off. But, man, that game had a little bit of everything. But, I want to go back to kind of the beginning of the series and game one and kind of talk about that a little bit. You know, you and I have had several conversations leading up to this about this potential matchup. Chicago Blackhawks, one of the most storied franchises in all the NHL, obviously one of the most successful franchises over the last several years, a couple Stanley Cups and conference finals, and, they lost in the conference finals last year to LA Kings. And then we got the Anaheim Ducks, the team that kind of just has a wonderful regular season, kind of fizzles and kind of falls apart in the playoffs, but this particular run, they've been able to kind of put things together, and, they are really riding the coattails of outstanding goaltending from Freddie Anderson. He has been beyond phenomenal. He's a legitimate playoff goalie now. He's tested. He hasn't lost in regulation in these playoffs. He has just been fantastic. And last night he was outstanding again. You know, they get roughed up to start the game. It's 2-0, 6 minutes in. He kind of holds his team in check for the next 100 and some odd minutes until, they can can, and then Chicago wins the game. But, when you look at a guy like Freddie Anderson, how do you feel about it? I'm starting to think of this guy as a legitimate star. I mean, he's a budding star in the NHL. You know, what do you think? How do you think he's ranking, especially, among some of the elite goaltenders right now? What does he have to do to even take that next step, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, Stevie, what I've thought with Freddie Anderson here and probably the Ducks here as a team, as a squad, and Coach Boudreau is the timing and the way they've been able to get to this point to play the Chicago Blackhawks. And let's take, Freddie Anderson here. He plays a really good series against Winnipeg where his team was pretty much had to come from behind. So he had to play that style. He had to keep his team in the game. And I thought that was just one step. And then you get into Calgary, a different look, some young guys, some fast, some speed, some exciting games there. But, the Ducks, the favorite in that series and come out on top and pretty much kind of – they're kind of, gaining their confidence as a team there. Everything's starting to click. And, again, with Freddie Anderson, he gets a second full round of playoff games, through to the conference finals where finally they meet up the Chicago Blackhawks, stacked with star players just the same way Anaheim is too. And I think, maybe if this was the first round, Stevie, or maybe even the second round – you don't get to see Freddie kind of expand a little more and get, more rubber on him, get more experience, different types of situations, but that doesn't happen. He gets two full rounds of playoff series, and here he is, And, man, he is just doing a phenomenal job against these guys. And Crawford was just equally to the task last night as well. But I think that's the big thing for Freddie Anderson for me is getting those first two rounds under his belt before he plays a team like this. So maybe going into Chicago, you know, now 1-1, and he's going to feel more confident himself because he's had the situations in the first two rounds, and I think that's just helping him out with his maturity. And obviously, Steve, more than anything, it's just you got to get playoff experience, and he's getting it right now. And having two rounds instead of one round or the first round, I think is helping him out against the Blackhawks here.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the maturity factor with him, and that is something that has been able to stabilize the Ducks. I mean, you listen to the way he speaks after a game, whether it's a win, whether it's a loss. You know, his answers are well thought out. They're articulate. You know, he speaks like a true leader. He speaks like somebody who wants to, you know, carry his team. And I think, you know, as the playoffs have gone on, you've just seen that level of confidence in him continue to grow, continue to grow, continue to grow. And, you know, we're at a point right now where, you know, the goaltending is not a question mark for the Ducks anymore. Coming into the playoffs, that's always the question mark. Now that's not a question mark. Now we start to focus on some other areas, you know, the penalty kill and the power play and some of the other things. And now we don't have to worry about goaltending, which is going to kind of transition me a little bit into this series. You know, we go back to game one. The Blackhawks come flying out of the gate. You know, we expected this from them. We expected this to be obviously a very tough pass for the Ducks. But when you look at up and down the lineups, teams match up very well. You know, all the superstar power on Chicago, the ability to score. A guy like Marian Hossa, who's kind of a secondary guy in Chicago, but always been a Duck killer. And then you look at the Ducks and you know, the way that they've been able to kind of shut down some of the bigger names in the first two rounds and the way that they just kind of grind at you and they hit you and they throw the body around. And you know, how would these two different styles of play kind of mesh and come together? And we saw it in game one. Chicago comes out flying. You know, the Ducks were patient, kind of did their thing. They start to lay the body a little bit more to Chicago, and then they get their breaks, and boom, there you go. They win that game 4-1, another good, solid goaltending effort from Anderson there to help preserve the win. You know, how did he let in a goal or another goal or so in that first period, that game would have been completely different. But, you know, you kind of roll. Ducks feeling really good about themselves after that first game, and, you know, you look at it and like, okay, maybe, you know, Chicago has to kind of readjust the way that they think in terms of facing a team like the Ducks, and that's exactly what happened in, you know, game two. You see the Ducks, they come out, again, a little bit, the physicality kind of can overrun itself to through the emotions, and the Ducks start taking penalties, and boom, Chicago finds a way to capitalize on it and get those power play goals. But series has the potential to be one of the classics. So we've seen it. You know, that game last night is just a taste of it. And you know, we got that other series going on in the East right now. But I think right now the Stanley Cup champion is going to come out of this series just by the way that these two teams have played and the way they carry themselves and kind of the pedigree that they have. So, you know, I was watching that game last night and I kept thinking, what either Tampa Bay or New York, how would they possibly, you know, be able to match up with Chicago and or Anaheim? And I know you being more familiar with the Rangers and more, you know, getting more familiar with Tampa Bay, that's the series going on. How do you think, when you look at Anaheim and Chicago, how do you think, you know, they would stand up against the East, or should I say, how is the East going to be able to compete with the way that what these two teams bring at them, whether it's Chicago or Anaheim?
Well, Stevie, you know, no matter how you cut it, whether it's Tampa Bay that comes out or the Rangers, you know, it starts off in net. You're going to have two really good goaltenders. You know, if Bishop ends up coming out on the winning side of this, you know, he'll be you know, full marks here for whoever you faces between Anaheim or Chicago. On the other side, if Hank gets through, I mean, you know what you have there. So that's going to be one thing. I think with, you know, maybe right off the bat, you think if the Rangers or the Bolts can get rid of each other quicker and maybe get the rest a little more and have Anaheim and Chicago go seven, that might help them out a little bit. But then again, you know, you look at some of the young guys on both Tampa Bay and the Rangers here, you might want them to play a couple more games and get into more different, you know, situations. Obviously, the Rangers, with the way they've had to come back, and obviously Tampa Bay, too, in the first round against Detroit, you know, both of these teams are playing pretty well, and their secondary and their young guys, you know, whether it's Johnson here or, you know, if it's Hayes and, you know, Miller and Kreider on the Rangers. These are all young guys. I think, you know, the more games you have, and that's what we were talking about before with Freddie Anderson, maturity, experience. I think any time you can, the more you can get before you face a team like the Ducks with Perry and Getzlaff and Kessler, for argument's sake, and then obviously ever in Chicago, maybe that's going to help you a little more. So, you know, you can just kind of maybe throw that up in the air, Stevie. You know, maybe the Bolts, like I said, and the Rangers want to get done quick, and hopefully these Hawks and Chicago and Anaheim have that epic series that everybody's expecting what you're talking about. And that might be the only benefit, because in Nets, I think it's going to start there, and both teams have a very good defensive core on each side too. I think it'll be just more experience when it all comes down to it on the other side. And again, if Chicago and Anaheim come out healthy, you know, yeah, they will be the favorites, but we'll see what happens. But that would be my my take in it. Maybe some more expensive, more experience here for these guys on the east side. A couple more games might help them out. So maybe both series go long, and maybe that that'll equal things out, Steve.
Yeah, I personally think both series are going to go long. I think you know blowouts aside, the Rangers again. That's a team that you can't keep down. You got Henrik Lundqvist between the pipes. You know, you're never out of a game, out of a series. We saw that in the last series. So I do think that series is going to go long. And I do think, you know, they'll gain that extra experience. But I just, you know, the Rangers are offensively challenged. I know there's, you know, the ridiculous streak of winning games 2-1. I mean, that may work. That's been working for them. But I think, you know, the way that Chicago can score goals in bunches, and the way that Anaheim can score goals in bunches, and the way that those teams roll four lines and the big bodies and the way they kind of wear you down, you know, the speed teams in the East matching up against some of the bigger teams in the West. And yeah, I just don't like that matchup, but I'm going to swing it back to the West Coast. I know you got other shows to talk about the East Coast teams, but the excitement around this series, it's been palpable. You know, they're obviously, when you watch that game on television and Chicago scores a goal, you see how many Chicago fans are in attendance there. You know, there's a lot of out-of-towners living in Southern California market. So you just got that kind of that rivalry brewing, mentality going. But you can just sense this town, this not so much L.A., but Orange County is super excited. And, you know, I've been in Riverside County, Orange County, San Diego County over the last couple of weeks, and you see those Ducks flags flying and people talking about the Ducks and a lot of pride, especially, you know, that they're a homegrown team here, and, you know, they're building their following. So there's a lot of excitement going on. And when the Ducks drew Chicago and you saw that matchup coming, this was kind of that dream matchup that Ducks fans have been looking for, or Anaheim fans. They kind of want a little bit of vindication, like beating a team like Chicago would give them that vindication. You know, over the last several years, it's been all about Los Angeles, the Kings, and how dominant the Kings have been, and how the Kings can win the big games, and how Anaheim hasn't been able to win those big games. But now Anaheim has that opportunity to do that by knocking off those same Chicago Blackhawks that have been battling so hard with Los Angeles. So this particular matchup right here is not only big or good for the NHL, I think it's good for the hockey market here in California, and as people are getting more into it, and obviously Ducks getting to a Stanley Cup final and possibly taking another Stanley Cup or even winning the Western Conference, it will be good for it. When I was watching that game last night, and I was trying to key in on certain things, especially when it got to overtime, and trying to see, you know, Chicago in the beginning of the game, they come out real fast. They've got, and the Ducks kind of, you know, Chicago brings it to the Ducks, and the Ducks kind of settle in and they bring it to them. But I couldn't help but notice as the game went on that Chicago looked gassed. They got six defensemen. Four of them are playing big minutes. The other two are not playing so much. But as that game wore on, the Ducks were using long stretch passes. The Ducks were throwing, you know, pucks from one side of the ice to the other. There was no Blackhawks in sight. You know, you get a little pressure here and there from guys like Kane and Taves and those guys. And Brian Bickle, I thought, had a really good overtime. But, you know, I think if that's going to be the biggest weakness in this series for the Chicago Blackhawks is their shortage on defense. You know, what were you thinking watching that, especially those minute totals started to creep into 40, 45, 46-plus minutes for defensemen in a game that's that physical? You got to be concerned if you're a Chicago fan as that series rolls along.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the only thing, maybe the other positive side for the Hawks is that these guys have been there before, and And unfortunately, you know, a guy like Duncan Keith, he's like, he's not even human. I mean, the amount of minutes that he puts in, and obviously they've lost Roosevelt there, and those guys have stepped up pretty good. You got to look at it this way, Steve. There were a bunch of goalposts that the Ducks hit there last night. They should have probably won that game one way or the other in terms of, you know, the bounces of the game, and that's what's incredible about it, and that's what's exciting about overtime and this deep into the playoff series. There were times there in terms of the forecheck and the pressure that the Ducks were put on. I sat there really, Steve, and I could not believe that the puck did not get past Crawford, especially on bounces, rebounds. It was ugly stuff in front of the net. You figured it was just going to bang off somebody or just drop in, and for some reason it just careened off the opposite side, just never went through, rolled through the crease. So, I mean, full marks for the Ducks last night. It's not like they didn't go for it. It's not like they didn't have a chance to win it. That's just the game that we love, Stevie, and it just kind of flipped around the other way. And obviously the Hawks, you know, get the winner last night. But, you know, Crawford stood on his head last night too, man. The amount of shots that he faced, 62 shots in all.
Sensational.
He really made some stops that made you just jump back in your seat going, are you kidding me? So, I mean, that's to me, you know, when you're not passionately involved with it, Steve, you kind of sit back, and that's the beauty of it. You just kind of enjoy the game, and you sit there, and for me, myself, just kind of laughing and enjoying what's going on and going, you got to be kidding me. And like I said, the head goal that went in, all that stuff. I mean, it was just great to watch. I don't know what it was like for you and the Ducks fans there in attendance, but, you know, like I said, it's only a break. It goes the other way. So as far as the exhaustion for the Hawks there, the only thing that those guys have that doesn't surprise me is the experience, because these guys have played long rounds and long overtimes, and they've been doing this for a few years now. And Stevie, too, very young. These guys are young. They got young legs.
Yeah, it's crazy. We talk about, you know, the breaks in overtime. You know, there's only so many chances with Corey Perry all alone in front of the net, you know, with the puck on his stick and Crawford coming up with huge saves. There's only so many opportunities, you know, before Perry finally buries one. But, you know, tough break for the Ducks last night. Now we move on, and the question is, where does this series go from here? Now that we've essentially played what is equivalent to three full games, because there's only 3.5 minutes or so left in that third overtime, so this could potentially be an 8-game series. But now, where do we go from here? You know, we talk about the exhaustion, fatigue, things setting in, and thankfully for both these teams, they had short, you know, rounds previously. That Chicago obviously advancing in a sweep, and the Ducks did in 5 games. Now, where do we go from here as the series shifts to Chicago? And for my money, there needs to be a little bit of a shift in philosophy, especially from Anaheim's end. Obviously, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But the way that things have happened for the majority of this playoff series is the Ducks have kind of, you know, started slow and kind of let the other team dictate the play, especially early in the game. It's got to be the other way. Anaheim has to go into Chicago. You want to quiet down that crowd, because that crowd is into it. From the reaction of that goal last night, I mean, had the Ducks won that game, you would have seen a pretty demoralized group with the Ducks going up 2-0. But now the series is tied, and anything can happen. Chicago's kind of taking that home ice away. See, especially in Game 3, the Ducks have got to come out. They've got to kind of dictate the play, but they've got to keep their heads about them. They've got to stay out of that penalty box, because we've seen just how deadly the Chicago team is on the power play, and the Ducks have just taken dumb penalty after dumb penalty after dumb penalty. You know, the delay of game penalty in overtime or the too many men on the ice. I know Chicago took one too, but that was just an inopportune time for Anaheim to take that penalty. Obviously falling down by a couple goals in the first place with the power play. But, you know, going forward, that Anaheim has really got to focus in on their discipline and just continue to do the things that they do. Play a full 60 minutes of that hard-fought forechecking, rolling four lines. And, you know, the Perry Getzlaff maroon line is going to get their points. We just got to see a little bit more Kessler line. We talk about playoff Kessler. I thought he didn't have that great of an overtime. There weren't too many pucks in his stick that were dangerous last night. And I'm hoping to see a little bit more of that last night and obviously moving forward. But I think the one advantage that Anaheim has going forward is that fourth line they put together of Rickard Rakell, Emerson Edom, and I'm drawing a blank right now. It'll come to me.
That other guy over there.
Really, the one guy with the skates. No. But they did a great job last night, and they had a lot of energy, and they were definitely, you know, causing things and wreaking havoc. But going forward, I think they're going to have to play a bigger role in this. You know, I think it's imperative that the Ducks win this third game here because, you know, with Chicago going up 2-1 in the series, I think, you know, the mentality kind of shifts a little bit. But as far as, you know, the Ducks, I don't want that doubt starts to creep in. They haven't really faced all that much adversity. I think, you know, they did trail games in the first round, but they really haven't been in a situation where they've trailed at any time in the series, in the playoffs, or been down. They have, like I said, they haven't lost in regulation yet. So you know, this is going to be a big, a big opportunity. Not one of those must win games, but one of those games where you really want to come out and see what the team is made of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, Stevie, I agree with you. You know, obviously, it's the Captain Obvious game three, pivotal game. It's going to put somebody up in a rush. Yeah, obviously, and you know, if Chicago wins, they'll have the home ice advantage back in their pocket here. But I think, you know, the Ducks themselves, I think the big thing to me, if I take anything away from last night's game, it's the Crawford factor and the way that he played. I mean, the team put 62 shots on him. They put a lot of pressure on him. They were in his face. And, you know, and you look at game one with the Ducks too, Stevie, the scoring's been spread out between Lindholm, Palmieri, Thompson, you know, Silverberg there as well, and Cogliano and Perry there last night. You know, Perry's your guy, gets a lot, hasn't gotten the score sheet yet. There's time. I think, I don't know if there's anything that the Ducks really, you know, they've maxed out as much as they can. I think you bring up some great points, and I agree with you. And I go back to what you said earlier, and that's pretty much, you know, don't break, you know, don't fix what ain't broken so much. They ran into a pretty damn good goaltender last night, and I think they just got to settle in and play a good first period tomorrow night and hang with it. And I think maybe I'll just, you know, comment is watching Chicago here, trying to, you know, I don't know how much they can keep hanging on Crawford like that. You know, they're going to have to kind of step things up a little bit and go all at it offensively, and maybe that's going to be the opportunity for the Ducks to kind of hit them back.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to be as politically, you know, correct as I can be as far as talking about Chicago because of their pedigree. But honestly, when I'm watching these two teams play, the Ducks just look like they're playing on a different level right now. You know, they just seem to have everything going right for them. And had it not been for some outstanding goaltending, you know, the game could have been over in regulation. You know, Crawford stood in his head. He kept his team in it. And that's what you need if you're going to win games in the playoffs. You need outstanding goaltending. But, you know, one of the reasons I asked you about the fatigue factor is because the way I look at it, I think the Ducks are just going to wear him down. I really do. I mean, I could be totally wrong, and Chicago could win the next, you know, three games and win the series. But the way I look at it, the way that the Ducks are playing, they just seem to have this swagger about them, this level of confidence that I can't even recall seeing in a team in quite some time, and just this we're not going to lose mentality. Doesn't matter who chips in, doesn't matter who scores, doesn't matter who's making the play. They just have the ability to kind of spread it out, get contributions from everybody, and win games. And the defense, I can't say enough about Hampus Lindholm, and I think this has kind of been his coming out party, you know, because I'm starting to see the national media starting to focus on him, and he was so cool and calm last night with the puck, especially in overtime, making smart plays, you know, getting the puck out of harm's way, using the boards well, finding his teammates, just cool as a cucumber for a kid that's 22 years old. You know, and the same thing with a guy like Cam Fowler, 23 years old. These guys out there just, you know, as if they're playing pickup hockey with some friends, they're just out there making the right plays. And I think that's the biggest difference in the Ducks between in past years, and I really the reason why I think they're going to win this series and continue to play well and move past Chicago is just this calmness, they've kind of seen it all. They've lost the heartbreaking games. They've won the big games. They've had the regular season success. They've just kind of been able to do it all, and they're just it's all coming together right now. And I think the it's just the way that Chicago has to kind of, you know, push the Ducks back and relying on those four defensemen and Seabrook and the like to kind of keep them at bay. I think at some point these guys, they're maybe young, but they are human, and there's only so much you can take. And you know, the legs start to get tired and the doubt starts to creep in and the stick gets a little bit lazy and the feet don't move. And then you just boom, 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 you know, the Ducks are putting the puck in the back of the net. And that's for me, that's what I'm going to look forward as the series. on and how the Ducks respond. And I just think that just from what I've seen, even with the series being 1-1 and the long overtime, the Ducks just look like the team that's better prepared to win and move on. You know, what do you think about that? What's your take on it? Am I being too – am I looking through orange-colored lenses, or is that something that, you know, is obvious to people watching the team?
Well, no, I agree with you on a lot of points there. And maybe sometimes a loss like last night, it helps a team. You know, you talk about their confidence and their swagger and everything. And sometimes, again, you know, I talk about, I mean, they threw everything at them except the kitchen sink last night. It's an overtime loss. It's a bounce. But sometimes, you know, when you lose a game like that to a team like the Chicago Blackhawks, it makes a team with confidence, with swagger, that's doing very well, that they know that they can't make the continue to kind of make any mistakes, or they can't take their foot off the throttle here, Stevie. So maybe it'll be a good thing for the Ducks. On the other side of that, in terms of, like I said, the Hawks might be playing with fire there, in terms of, like, you know, what you're saying with exhaustion and everything else, in terms of where the game's going to be played. But, you know, you got Coach Q back there, and you got Boudreaux as well. And I love this time of the year too, with these types of series, and when you have a split series like this now, the chess match and the moves that are made and everything else, it all comes down to the guys in the ice. Again, I'll go back to saying, I don't know if the Ducks have to change too much. Maybe that loss last night helps them just in terms of what they need to know, that they're going to have to never stop. And no matter how many posts they hit, they've got to keep at it to knock out a team, like I said, like the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, and this is similar to what happened in the Calgary series. They lost the overtime game, and we talked about how are they going to respond, you know, how are they going to kind of, you know, is this the kind of game that kind of gets them focused again and back on things? And you know, this is one of those hard luck losses. You kind of put it behind you. You keep doing what you're doing, and you learn from it. Just listening to the players talk after the games and the things they had to say, you know, Corey Perry is really hard on himself. But to me, that speaks to the leadership in that locker room and the, you know, there's so much responsibility being taken by the players that this team knows that an opportunity with a group like this doesn't come along very often. And, you know, I think they see it and they'll be able to rebound nicely as the series rolls along. So I'm losing my voice here, buddy.
It's all good, man. This is all good stuff, man. So what do you think about coming up here tomorrow night and these next couple of games before we get back on the air together?
Look, again, like I said earlier, I'm just going to look to see how they come out in the first period. They've been a little flat. They've kind of, you know, let Chicago do their thing until they finally decide to kick it on. So I'm really going to be looking for Anaheim to get a good start in the first period, maybe score early or, you know, just put a lot of pressure on them. You're playing a road game, so you want to come out and kind of be the physical team, kind of take the crowd out of it. So that's what I'm going to key in, see how Anaheim does that. You know, I don't like the chances, you know, when you're on the road and the home team scores and they keep the fans in, the fans get loud. You see the home team kind of build off that energy. So I'm really going to, you know, see how the Ducks respond, hope that everything that they kind of learned from these last six periods or so of hockey, they bring it all and they just come out ready to play. And, you know, Boudreaux, I don't see him making too many lineup changes, but I'll be interested to see if he wants to insert anybody in there or put somebody in. I think he's pushed all the right buttons so far. You know, you've got James Wisniewski is just still sitting on the bench, but he's kind of acting like another coach there, you know, with the younger guys. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of changes. I don't think there will be, but that to me, that's going to be the biggest thing. How do they respond in the first period of game three and going forward from there?
I agree with you, Steve. It's going to be fun. Like I said, you said it before. It could be an epic series, and I think, you know, as the way things have started here 1-1, we're on a good way to do that, and it should be pretty exciting in Chicago, and we'll see how the Ducks go into the United Center, baby, and mix it up, buddy. Take it home,
pal. like I said, I still like the Ducks in the series. I still think it's going to be kind of a long series, but I like the Ducks winning it. But, you know, just like we talked about, it's fun. It's playoff hockey, and just enjoy the games. You know, East Coast guy, enjoy the West Coast games. West Coast guy, I'll enjoy the East Coast games. And, you know, that'll do it. Again, for another episode here, the California Hockey Show. I thank everybody for listening. You know, enjoy the great Ducks hockey. And if you want to catch this episode or any of the other episodes, you can catch us on HTW2.com. That's HTW2 on the Hockey This Week Network. And there's not just the California Hockey Show. We got hockey shows all over the country. So if you're a Toronto fan or Montreal, New York, you name it, we got it. Go there. We got them on HTW2.com. This is Steve Palumbo. You can catch me at CPalumboNHL on Twitter. That's at Steve Palumbo NHL. Paulie, that's it, buddy. Have a good night, man. Enjoy your game,
you
and go Rangers.
You got it, buddy. Great show. Take care, pal.
All right, bud.
You've been listening to the California Hockey Show right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network.